WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Our rock historian Ed Ward is going to tell us the story of soul singer and songwriter Clarence Carter, who's best known for his 1970 hit Patches, a sentimental account of a young boy's becoming the man of the house after his father's death. Ed says, well before Patches, Carter had proven himself over and over to pop and soul fans.
Oh, you gotta let your hair.
Clarence Carter was born in Montgomery, Alabama in 1936 and was blind from birth. When he was nine, his grandmother gave him a guitar and he'd found his calling. In college, he hooked up with another blind student, Calvin Scott, who played organ, and as Clarence and Calvin, made a couple of records for a small Atlanta label. Changing their name to the C&C Boys, they spent 3 years at a larger label, Duke, which did nothing at all to promote them. Once they were out of their contract, they sought out Rick Hall's up-and-coming Fame label, which had a great reputation but no hits to show. Hall snapped them up, thinking they sounded like the Righteous Brothers, but after releasing one record by them, disaster struck. Calvin Scott was shot in the head by his wife. Hall wanted the duo, but Carter pleaded with him and was grudgingly given a session. Good thing he was. Did Tell Daddy do well for the Fame label, it also showed that Carter was a top-notch songwriter, because Etta James later came to Fame to record and had a big hit with the song as Tell Mama. Carter followed it up with a dance novelty, Thread the Needle, and then another record that was most notable later for its B-side.
Baby, I ain't going down that road of love by myself. No, no, I ain't going down that road of love by myself. Now if you won't go with me, baby, I guess I just have to get somebody else.
Road of Love was a pretty standard blues tune, a chance for Carter to give some time to a young guitarist he'd been hanging out with at Fame. Wayne Allman had been looking for a chance to show what he could do, and Carter gave him that chance. Listening in the background was Jerry Wexler of Atlantic Records, which was distributing Fame. Wexler believed Carter was a major talent and would get better exposure if Atlantic, a soul powerhouse, took over his records. Sure enough, his next single was his best-selling one yet.
I'm all alone and fancy free. Looking for a fox. Looking for a
introduced by Carter's soon-to-be trademarked lascivious laugh, Looking for a Fox crossed over onto the pop charts, and Fame hurried to get a follow-up. The word funk was in the air, and the Fame band worked with Carter for hours on a song called Funky Fever. Atlantic ordered 10,000 copies immediately, only to have Wexler call Rick Hall and tell him he was promoting the wrong side of the record. Hall was shocked. That side was just a throwaway they'd knocked out in 15 minutes a couple of years back. But Wexler was right.
What would I give for just a few moments? What would I give just to have you near? Tell me you will try to slip away somehow. Oh, I need you, darling. I want to see you right now. Can you slip away?
The song went top 10 soul and pop and made Carter a lot of money, but not as much as it might have. He'd co-credited three of his friends who were in bad financial shape, although they hadn't had a thing to do with the record, so Slip Away not only established Carter as a hitmaker, but turned their affairs around. Carter just kept going. His next release, Too Weak to Fight, also charged into the soul top 10, and then he released a classic Christmas record.
They call me back, no Santa. About to break a day. They call me backdoor Santa. I make my runs about to break a day. Oh, oh, oh. I make all the little girls happy while the boys are out to play.
By 1970, Clarence Carter had done a lot to put Fame on the map, had helped get Wayne Allman a contract with Atlantic, and had married his longtime girlfriend and sometime co-writer Candy Staton, who also signed to Fame and started having hits. Patches was still in the future, and Carter was already a star. He still is. He's slowed down some, but he still tours occasionally and makes records for his own label. He still does that trademark chuckle, too.
Ed Ward is the author of the forthcoming book, The History of Rock and Roll, Volume 1, 1920 to 1963.